The Bears have made a quarterback change. They have told some people within the organization that they are going with Mitchell Trubisky, who will make his first NFL start 1 week from tonight against the Minnesota Vikings.
Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin and our very special guest, the smartest man in the bar room, Shane Marsaw. Phil, gotta start with you right away because this is the day you've been preaching for the longest time of all the members in the bar room. How do you feel tonight?
Aldo, it is that moment where the chills go down your spine and through your arms, your hair raises up. Get under center. You start recognizing where the mic is. You start to recognize the backside linebacker and defensive end are now nervous because they're on an island. All of a sudden, Jordan Howard and this little chess piece out of NCAA&T can now run a jet sweep, have both players on the football field at the same time. All of a sudden, everybody on the offensive side of the football feels a lot more better because they can actually run down the field and expect a pass to be on them in a split second time with accuracy and anticipation. The defense is no longer sitting on the sideline waiting to go back in about 20 seconds, take a sip of Gatorade, get ready because it's about to be a turnover. Some craziness is going to be. It is a new day and a new dawn. This football team was crippled and handicapped by the bullshit politics of money. And let's just be honest, Aldo earlier tonight did a performance and Bears barroom justice, talking about giving the music, giving the vibe and the energy to the Bear fan out there. We've asked for this. We talked about this all last year. It was the year of the quarterback with the smartest man in the barroom talking about it. After the draft, you played audio of me saying this needed to be an open fucking competition right off the bat. No mincing words. That's how you win in this league. And it wasn't. It was about $18 million selling the fans on some cheap crap. Guys, Mitchell Trubisky impressed me, impressed Aldo, impressed Shane. Impress football people that I know, not guys on the NFL network, not guys that are going to sell you a lie to get more clicks, not guys that are telling you practice squad is more important to learn. I'm talking about people in the NFL, people that are coaching college major programs down to the high school level that saw Mike Glennon and called him a JV quarterback on the high school level. JV Glennons. They made a mistake. You got to earn and own that mistake in the preseason. They couldn't. I put up all the film at Bears Barroom, Aldo. You, my friend, you deserve a lot of credit. Trubisky now, hashtag by Aldo Gandia. Me and you, Aldo, and our boy Shane, trumpeting that. Marching bands. People asking you to sell it out there. Retweet it. We made it a mission. Aldo made a movie. I made movies. We do so much creative stuff. I'm so proud of these men. I'm serious right now. This is one moment in time to put it on the radio. I don't care if you like it, you like me, you like Shane or not, but you cannot skip over the fact that we've been telling you this and we've been right. And we've been telling you this and it's out there. And Trubisky now was trending, Aldo, was trending. And guys that don't care about their egos were willing to tip the hat to Aldo Gandhi and Phil Atoshin and Shane Marsaw and Bears Barroom. But those guys are so jealous. They couldn't handle it. They want to see this. They want to see this franchise in the doldrums. They want to see it laughing stock. They want to see the national stage and watch the crumblings of the giant statue quarterback go down in flames. I'm tired of it. It's no more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm going to tell you how it is. Trubisky gives you so much on this day. Moving forward, there is a new face of the goddamn franchise, and I don't care, like I said on previous shows, if they lose every game going forward from here, with him learning on the job is the only way you're going to get better. You're not going to get better on the scout team, okay? You're not. You're running other teams' plays. The only thing you're doing is practicing your traits. The VR machine can only get you so far. You get out there on the national stage like you saw Deshaun Watson, and you play this game that you grew up loving. This isn't his first rodeo. 13 games, Shane. How many games has he actually played in? 32? Is that the number?
31.
31 games the kid has played in his collegiate career. So we can't just, oh, he only played in 13 games. All this stuff, unfortunately, happens to the Bears. Today, we celebrate despite the shitstorm that you saw, that I predicted on this show, Aldo. Let's not. I go, this is going to be ugly. This is going to be ugly. I took you down, and Aldo wanted to give that speech of a lifetime, but they couldn't pull the trigger. And you know what, Aldo? I was thinking of you today. I was thinking of you. They had an opportunity at halftime to actually do what you were saying. They got a garbage time touchdown. And everyone's like, well, that's going to keep Trubisky in the – I mean, Glennon in the game. And you know what? It did. And that's the wrong coaching move.
Yep.
Because my coaching move would have been, you know what? Trubisky goes in the second half. I've seen enough. We need to do something to beat our rival because winning is the ultimate goal. Nothing else. If Trubisky fails, guess what? There'll be another draft. You got to keep going until you get it right. You got to get answers now, not 2 years from now, Jim Miller. That shit don't work.
It's Bears Hour Live. Draft Dr. Phil, bringing you truth, justice, and the Bear Barroom way.
And there you go. There Trubisky you go, now has occurred.
And that's all the time we have for
today,
folks.
I had to get it out.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Canada. Thank you, Ephraim. Thank you, Jedi. Thank you, George Hugh. Thank you, all the people in the chat room. It was nice talking to you. Great opening rant, though, Phil. Great opening rant. You covered so much, but you still left a lot for Shane to cover. Shane, jump on in here. Share your thoughts about what you think about this announcement and just, you know, celebrate, brother. Celebrate.
Wow. Mike was my quarterback. This isn't fair. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's not fair. He's my quarterback. No, it is. It's, you know, we see these games every week, guys, and we alluded to it last week with Pittsburgh. You were hoping it could be just a little bit of a turning point, and we saw how that went down in flames, mainly because of quarterback play, you know, versus Green Bay. And it just it gives you a sense of hope, you know, gives you something, you know, just gives the fan base something to look forward to. I sent out a tweet earlier today asking people if they really thought if the Chicago Bears wanted to make their second consecutive appearance on national TV where they shit down their leg. You know, if they came out and announced Mike Glennon as the starter for Monday Night Football, they would have been panning the stadium and there would have been thousands of empty seats all over the place. And I know the Cubs have a playoff game, but, you know, fuck the Cubs. This is about the Chicago Bears. Sorry, Cubs
yep.
fans. But, you know, it's there was only one decision to be made, and thank God the Bears made it. But it's just like Phil said, he put it perfect. This is it's a new direction. It's a new philosophy. I know Hubarkush doesn't believe that it's going to be any different for the offense. How the hell that's even possible? But it's
oh my gosh! Don't even skip over that, Shane. I mean,
no. I realized they asked him today on the Score how the offense was going to look different. And he said, well, just because Trubisky's in there, I really don't think it's going to look much different. Well, I don't know. He didn't have his hoop earring in, so maybe that's the keeper of his knowledge. So he didn't.
I don't get it.
And then, you know, we have meatheads like Heath Evans doubling and tripling down on his bullshit, you know, where he essentially called Mitch Trubisky a con man. So it's just, we see these narratives, guys. We lived it for years watching how everything was handled with Jay Cutler. But you know what? As a barroom and as a fan base, I say we cut bait with all of that bullshit and move on. And let's start right now with day one. This is Trubisky now. It's actually here. We have 1 week until he makes his debut. And I'm going to ask all Bears fans around the world that listen to us that is going to tune in for Monday Night Football, get behind this kid. We're going to have some bumps in the road. He's going to have some shortcomings, but it's going to be a learning process. We saw the bumps with Mike Glennon, but we knew there was no upside. That's why it made it so hard to watch. But this is our time now. We got the young kid in there, and at this point we have nowhere to go but up. But what makes this so much sweeter is we have our young quarterback that's going to give, you know, that's going to inspire the fan base. And that's really all we can ask for at this point.
My man, the smartest man in the bar room.
He loves you, man.
I know, really, I do too.
We're getting a lot of really good questions from the people in the chat room, and we're going to get to them in a moment. But, you know, I heard Rich Gannon, the former Oakland Raider, Tampa Bay Buck. He played for several teams, didn't he? He was on one of the talk shows this morning. He had something to say about our man Trubisky and the Chicago Bears. Let me cue that up. Where is he? He is right here. And I'm going to play that so that you guys, you, Phil, and Shane can listen to it and comment.
Let's talk a little bit about Mitchell Trubisky. Do I think he's ready? No way is he ready. I mean, look, here's a guy that played just 13 games at North Carolina. He should still be in college. This is not a great situation, not a great team around him. Look, when you look at Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco, when they first came into the league, these were much different situations. They had good offensive lines, established running games and receivers, and good defenses. That's not the case in Chicago for Mitchell Trubisky.
Now that makes no damn sense.
Pissed off Peyton, man, our announcer. Phil, why don't you jump in here and take care of Gannon for me?
Well, it seems like he's going down the road of negligence. It's like you don't know the Bears because you're talking about not a very good running game, and you had the second leading rusher in the whole NFL last season in Jordan Howard. You got a guy in Tariq Cohen who's as explosive as they come. That's only going to help Trubisky. And then you got an offensive line that is actually playing very good football. In fact, if they had a quarterback that could process the information, not wind up and take a 7,000 count to get rid of the football, then there would be success. Now, mind you, we've said this 100 times. I've said it before. Who's Mike Glennon? All the way through, we saw who Mike Glennon was. He wasn't good. If Mike Glennon came out here and balled out, Shane, Phil, and Aldo would be waiting on Trubisky, because that would be the smart plan, because that was their plan. For me, it needed to be open competition. It never was. They handed this guy the job, and he hindered and handicapped your team, Rich Gannon. And if you can't see what accuracy, anticipation, athleticism, and arm talent is, then I don't give two craps about who Trubisky was playing in the preseason. You never hinder that. We only assess quarterbacks who they're playing in college. Are those kids all going into the NFL? No. So the Joe Montana guys that he went up against at Notre Dame, they all made it to the NFL? No. You assess the player. You put him in ideal situations. That means you're going to reassess what you do and how you do it. And fortunately for the Mitchell Trubisky rookie, the Bears have tried to fit Mike Glennon in an offensive philosophy that is more befitting of a Mitchell Trubisky. So the the actual fit is going to be better. Now, we destroyed the narrative of the receivers aren't open, they're not talented enough. This is the NFL. These guys are talented. Bellamy might drop a few balls, but they're getting open. There's really stupidity on every person's part. That's just a talking point. Rich Gannon has watched about one game of the Bears, I'm sure of it, and it probably was the Pittsburgh Steeler game. And like P. Shrags or whatever this guy is on the morning show. I'm rolling with Glennon. He won the game against Pittsburgh. That's a tough opponent. What? Like, you don't watch the film. You won despite him. You lost because of him. The time was over. Mitchell Trubisky is going to make this team competitive. Now, when you're in a game and you look at this defense that the Bears have, they're frustrated. They're tired. They're playing on short fields. So when I hear Heath Evans and Rich Gannon talk about he only threw one interception, he threw two in Tampa. One was a pick six that gives away points. The other one was a red zone turnover that created a short field. He also fumbled the ball. It should have been an interception. It wasn't ruled an interception for whatever reason. Short field again. Mike Glennon was supposed to be here to be the bridge, to help move along Mitch Trubisky, teach him the right way. He's been a turnover machine. In fact, it's been so disgusting to watch it on film. I don't even know how to explain it to people, how I crack up laughing to hear we got to bubble wrap Mitch Trubisky and wait when he's ready. The guy's been ready since preseason game number one. It's been clear as the day is bright that Trubisky was the better option. And if you were going to take this road, you should have been competing on all ends, because the competition would have seen Trubisky 1, Sanchez 2, Mike Glennon and his millions would have been cut. And that's what a real GM would do. That's what a real coach would do. Now, that's where I have my faults with Pace. Money shouldn't define roster spot. Money should only define you trying to get better. And if you make a mistake, you own it. And we always used the Seattle Seahawks, Aldo, as an example. They saw Russell Wilson, short quarterback, throwing in the pocket was going to be a problem, Rich Gannon. He's going to get a lot of balls batted. He likes to run. Is he going to be athletic? He went to the Super Bowl. We know who Russell Wilson is. Mitchell Trubisky is going to give you that kind of dynamic playmaker from inside and outside the pocket. He is going to make this team unite, because it's clear the divide was occurring, because it was very clear that Glennon was horrific. And Rich Gannon, honestly, has no sense whatsoever. I can knock off three of his comments right off the bat. The Bears' offensive line is very good. Not great yet. Good to very good. Their interior, that center, is the maybe second best center in football. Kyle Long returning, motivated, is going to give you a lift. Sitton, we know he's a Pro Bowl guard right there. And then you got Leno playing well. Bobby Massey has played. He could play better, but he hasn't played bad. Now you look at the defensive side of the football. Top 10 defense in the NFL right now, guys. I don't know what Rich Gannon is talking about. Top 10 defense in the NFL. Shut down Julio. Shut down Antonio Brown. What more could they possibly do without their best inside backer? Now they've taken another inside backer, suspended, and we got to get into that. But I just don't see this narrative. You got to fight against it. Just like we asked you, Trubisky, now fight against the Heath Evans bullshit. Rich Gannon, Jim Miller, all of them are trying to suppress success. And that's what I have to say about Richie Gannon.
Shane, I know you want to take some shots at Rich Gannon. I'll hold him for you. Go ahead and fuck him up.
Topless.
Yeah, T-O-P-L-E-S-S. Exactly, topless. No, there's not too much that I can add about Gannon. It just, you know, it fits in with these narratives of these guys, and I think they're just misinformed, because you know, not to go back to Hub today on the score talking about Mitch Trubisky, but he got up there and he said, you know, Mitch Trubisky really surprised me with his athleticism. I never knew he could do that. He really surprised me with his arm strength. I never knew he could do that. Well, then, Hub, just come out and say you didn't watch any tape of the kid in college.
Right.
Because you can't watch 2 minutes of tape of Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina and tell me that you didn't know that the kid was athletic and that he had a good arm. I mean, it's just so right there, you just take anything that comes out of Hub's head and just bypass it, which hopefully everybody has been doing for years at this point, because it's just he's clueless. But none of this shit matters, guys. None of it does. It's going to be, this is all where we want it to be at this point. It's going to turn back to Mitch. And I do want to push back at what Phil said a little bit. And yes, everybody knows that Mike Glennon was a shot in the dark, and yes, Ryan Pace overpaid for him. There's not a general manager in the NFL that was going to cut Mike Glennon coming out of camp. To me, that's not even a plausible situation. And if you want to say that money was going to constitute playing time, well, Mike Glennon got 4 games, and he's guaranteed $15.5 million this year. So I'm not even sure if that holds much water. You know, they gave him his 4-game audition. Like, I know I put that out there a few times, like many people did. And then it was Trubisky. So, I know everybody was upset with how the Bears have played, and really, really down on Ryan Pace for the signing of Mike Glennon and how much money he gave them. But at the end of the day, yes, I know it's a business and it's all about money, but at the end of the day, that's what they lost. They lost some ball games, but they lost money. He didn't invest draft picks into him. And I put out today on Twitter too, I would have been much more concerned if Mike Glennon was the answer at quarterback from Ryan Pace. And he signed him in free agency, and 5 or 6 weeks later, he doubled down at quarterback and said Mitch Trubisky is the answer for the Chicago Bears at quarterback. And I don't think we should gloss that over. That's the most important part of this. Just imagine if he didn't draft a quarterback in the first round, and you're turning to who now? To Mark Sanchez? To Nathan Peterman? Or, you know, somebody like that. So it's just this whole narrative thing that's going on with the national media is never going to change, and it's never going to change until the Chicago Bears start winning as a franchise. If they start stacking wins, a lot of this stuff is going to go away. They have to be relevant. The Chicago Bears weren't relevant, and they're not going to be relevant until Monday night. They're going to get some juice with this young kid coming in. Like I said, it's going to inspire the fan base. I'm sure these numbers on Monday night, guys, versus Minnesota are going to be very high. Like I said, I don't care if the Cubs are playing a playoff game or not. Chicago is a Bears town, and it always has been, and it always will be. And if Mitch Trubisky goes out there, I'm not saying that he's going to light up Minnesota, but if he shows life and he shows that the Bears' arrow is firmly pointed up, it's going to change a lot of outlooks for this team. Because
he's going to show life.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's gonna breathe life into this entire fan base, into the franchise, and that's what they need. What is Pernell McPhee? We need more dogs. And not saying that Mitch Trubisky is gonna come in and take over a locker room like Jamal Adams is, right over there, Aldo.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys remember that rant.
Oh yeah.
But no, it's one of those things. We have a direction now. And Mitch Trubisky's going to lead that direction, and well, we got seven more days to go.
Let me push back on Pace, because I want to know what the old man would have done. And we talk about the 85 Bears and all that. Let's think about, this is the charter franchise. The ownership is terrible because we don't know who's actually running things. The coaching situation is horrific because we still don't know if Ryan Pace decided that he wanted Fox or not. So there's all those questions, Shane. So I'm just, this isn't to be the coach in me. It's the norm of this franchise is always run through different channels and avenues. What I'm saying is, it was very clear that this should have been an open competition based on you picking him second overall. Whoever decided, Pace or Fox, you told me, I'm using your words, that this is Ryan Pace's team. So if Ryan Pace doesn't go down there and say, listen, I don't give two fucks that we paid $15 million guaranteed. I want the best player to get under center and help us win. So go find that out. And if Fox decided, no, I'm going to go with a veteran, and it was very clear, very, very clear, despite any narratives, that Mitchell Trubisky was the better quarterback, and other teams, Wentz, who else? Prescott. We could go down the list that this, and Trevor Siemian, for God's sake. This is a passing league. The zone read scheme is rampant in this NFL right now, taking from the college game. The athletic mobile quarterback is what Dowell is needing. He had it in Tennessee. He tried to bring it to Cleveland. He brought it here. You've seen it last year. How, in your right mind, assessing Mike Glennon, did he give you the best chance to win opening day? Now, people are going to argue, well, if Bellamy catches that ball, you're right. If Bellamy catches that ball, you win the game. But how about the 55 other minutes of football that you could have blown out the team? We talked about it against Pittsburgh. You could have blown them out, too. The guy was a crippling force to the offense. Somebody has to answer for it. I think Ryan Pace, maybe you're right, he doesn't get cut. He's listed as the third-string quarterback, or he's put as the second string. You make an open competition. The old man, as I said, what would he have done? He probably would have thrown him out on the street. He would have played the best guy. If that was Bronco Nagurski as a young kid versus an old veteran he had, it would have been Nagurski. Winning hasn't been the most important thing in Chicago. I think we all agree there. It needs to be. And that's why Aldo got the Trubisky Now hashtag going. That's why I think this falls on Ryan Pace and John Fox. Get them out. Get them out.
Okay,
because
we've got
this giving away four games to me isn't okay.
We've got a bunch of questions here from our followers on the chat room, and so I want to get to some of them. Let me jump to the defense for a second. Bears Girl 80, our friend from Canada, she and a bunch of others are concerned about the Danny Trevathan suspension. Shane, if he appeals that suspension, does he play Saturday? Monday, or what's the likelihood that it can be reduced to a one-game suspension?
Well, the way that it works, if he's got, once they hand down the suspension, he's got 3 days to file to get it reduced. And normally what they do, he's the case is going to go in front of Derek Brooks and James Thrash. They're the one that are going to hear, you know, from both sides about if it should be reduced or not, and they're going to review everything. But obviously he's going to put in and try to get it reduced, and if they don't get to it before the game, yes, he would be able to. It's my understanding that he would be able to play, but they normally fast track it. And with the Bears being the Monday night game, I'm going to be very surprised if we don't hear by like Thursday or Friday what they've concluded, if it's going to be reduced to one game. I think them reducing it to one game is the most likely scenario in this, because Trevathan doesn't have a history. I know a couple of people out there were saying that it was like the guy in Cincinnati, his name is escaping me there, that's been suspended, you know, two or three times for some vicious hits and late hits and stuff like that.
But Vontaze Burfict.
Burfict. Yeah, exactly. Burfict has that history, which Danny Trevathan doesn't. And that's obviously going to help Danny Trevathan in his quest to get this reduced. But, you know, he's got the 3 days, and we probably won't even hear, you know, the semantics portion of it. We'll just hear, like, on Thursday or Friday from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport. We'll send out a tweet saying that, you know, it's been reduced by one game, or they're going to stay with the two games. But we'll just have to – we're really kind of in a wait-and-see mode more than anything at this point.
How concerned, Shane, are you about the fact that we probably will be without Danny, Jarrell Freeman, and Quit at the inside linebacker position? That's a question from the George U.
Oh, it's a huge concern. It absolutely is, because, I mean, you're talking about John Timu and a Christian Jones, and it's, you know, we're talking about inside linebacker being a strength of this team with our top three, and now there's a legitimate shot that you're going to be without them, and, you know, that obviously depletes your depth, and you're grabbing from the bottom of the barrel and putting these guys on a primetime stage and asking them to contribute. But, you know, it's just something that they're going to have to roll with. I know everybody gets mad hearing the next man up philosophy, but, you know, a lot of it's going to fall on Vic Fangio to scheme and try to, you know, get this front seven cranked up and maybe not drop Leonard Floyd back into coverage so often and try to scheme and try to break him free, you know, with some stunts and things like that. I know there's some talk out there that they think Sam Bradford is possibly going to be back and, you know, for the Monday Night Football game. And while, yes, he is a better quarterback than the backup that's been in for them the last couple of weeks, but one thing that Sam Bradford does not have is mobility, and I think that's going to be a benefit for the Chicago Bears team that do have some explosive guys that can come off the edge, and Willie Young and Leonard Floyd, and you got a guy like Akeem Hicks also, and maybe we finally see an appearance from Jonathan Bullard that can maybe have his welcome to the NFL moment against a struggling line in Minnesota. So, but it is, I mean, inside linebacker is going to be a huge issue in this game if we are indeed without Danny Trevathan, because it's just, I mean, you can only go so deep at that position, and you're going to be asking a lot of a guy like Christian Jones to step up and be a primetime player, where at this point in his career, he's kind of he's not a journeyman, obviously, but he's kind of a spot guy that's going to fill in and has the potential to fill in different positions also. But yeah, it is. It's a great question, and it's a legitimate concern.
We're getting a lot of great questions about the offense too, Phil. I want to throw this to you. Sean Ellis is concerned about, well, maybe not concerned, but he wants to know what challenges is the offensive line going to have now that there's a more mobile quarterback that they're protecting for?
Oh, it should be easier. I mean, it's going to come on to Dowell Loggins, Sean, because really you're going to be able to open up the playbook a hell of a lot more because you're going to stress those defensive ends. And I really want to make this very clear, and we're going to have to watch this, because you saw the opening play, they went play action. We all know Glennon processed so slow. He had Zach Miller wide open. If he just delivered, the destruction and the avalanche of what transpired might not have. The Dowell's got to really recognize using those two backs early. Get that running game established. Even if it gets stuffed to 2-3 yards, now you want them to lull asleep on the outside and get that boot, get that action game going. Mitch outside the pocket, giving those offensive linemen angles it's really going to help them, because you're going to be able to ground and pound. You're going to be able to boot him out of there, giving them angles, pushing down, leaving the free guy, hit the tight end, read 1-2, is the tight end open? It's really going to be a help to them because you don't have to worry about a statue quarterback that's not able to delay and move out of the pocket and create plays downfield. I mean, you saw limited stuff of Trubisky. I don't know why and how they handled this is ridiculous, but when you did see him and give and really have him handling the football, he went through his meshes really well for a rookie, and that means he's putting the ball in the belly of the running back. The running back's downplaying his shoulders, looking like he's giving the ball and taking it, and then he continues on his progressions. Mitchell Trubisky was doing that like a veteran in the preseason. Those little ball handling skills go a long way for quarterbacks when they really recognize that they need to follow through on these fakes. Trubisky was doing that. And then if you watch his tape, his ability to throw as he's moving, he's able to leap, gather his body and square his shoulders and deliver strikes down the field. That's only going to help the offensive line. So the offensive line really is going to be focused on running the football, getting good angles now that they have a mobile quarterback, and their pass pro sets are going to have to be precise to where they are. Everybody's going to be on notice because the rookie's in, Aldo. So I think that means for a better whole performance by the offense because they all know that it should have been this. It's really that clear. So I think you're going to see an excellent job by the offensive line and the receivers and really everybody coming together to support this young quarterback.
Phil, I want to keep it with you. Jedi 4049 wants to know what's good about Trey McBride on tape. And I know you're a big fan. And then Efren Moreno Jr., he followed that up by saying that he had heard that Trey had some problems with his route running. So, and I know you know about that too. So why don't you share some knowledge to our two followers?
Well, the thing about Trey McBride is he's a 4.37 guy who's an athlete. He can high point and get those deep routes and attack the football. You know, he is one of the better athletes I saw on tape. And granted, he's coming out of a smaller school, so you're looking at him against lesser competition. Again, you don't facilitate bias in that. You just recognize traits. The ability to go up, snatch, grab the football, and that means just the ball's in the air. You're plucking it out of the sky, following it. You catch with your eyes, then your hands, and you follow through. McBride was able to do that on tape. I think you saw him against the Bears plucking the ball, making contested catches when he was with the Titans. There was a reason why they brought him over here for their 53. I don't get the whole Bellamy Thompson stuff, but I really believe that, yes, any receiver coming to the NFL is going to have to work on their route running skills and the ability to act at the stem of the route. And that means when you get, if it's a 5 to 7 yard slant, you better have your right foot up. If you're on the left side, you're going to be counting in your head those 5 steps. Then you're going to break to that point. You got to be on time because the quarterback's steps are matched up to your route. So when they're off, that's why you see these stupid interceptions. Players have to understand coverages, understand zone versus man, where they're going to be checked. All of it's a very difficult thing for a receiver to learn as they're going. He's been in the league. If he's given an opportunity and getting into flow with the thing, I think Trey McBride will surprise and will give that athleticism that the Chicago Bears lack and the finishing, because it's not like these guys haven't gotten open. I believe Wright is getting a bad rap. He's been impressive to me on tape. I didn't think he was that good of a route runner coming over from the Titans. He really has worked on his craft. Wheaton is up and down. I don't know what he is, to be perfectly honest, right now with Wheaton. But I think Thompson has worked on his game, and I think of Trey McBride. I honestly think you have to cut somebody on the special teams like a McManus or a Bellamy and bring up Gentry and have that kind of relationship grow. A guy that's able to establish himself in the NFL, have a relationship with the quarterback. McBride and Gentry do things that these other receivers don't do. So if you think in your mind that the Bears have this personnel down and we don't know, just look at Trubisky. Just look at Jordan Howard. Just look at Cam Meredith for your answers of why these guys were sitting on the bench while other players were playing. I believe Trey McBride, Aldo, if given an opportunity to be a part of the game plan, I'm not talking one play, let's see what he does. For whatever reason, that's how they handle it. Trey McBride can help this football team. I also big believer in Tanner Gentry. I think Gentry's a better player than Bellamy, without a doubt, clear as day. He can help this football team on special teams too. You're wasting reps with the drops. You don't win the game. The difference between winning and losing the game is catching and dropping the football. It always comes down to that unless it's a blowout. But you could see that on both sides of the football. And with these two guys, you have an opportunity to build something here. And hopefully they get the message. I know they brought McBride back up. Hopefully they bring Gentry.
Yeah, we've got a lot of action on Gentry on the chat board. A lot of people are excited about the possibility of seeing him back on the active roster and seeing him team up with Trubisky. And Phil, when you and I were looking at tape for one of your films, you know, everybody that Trubisky was playing with in the preseason, they're now like starters at the wide receiver position because of the injuries and stuff. But I want to get Shane to jump in here. And Shane, why don't you share your thoughts, too, about the overall wide receiver position? Do you have the concerns that some of these national broadcasters who haven't been looking at the tape, haven't been looking at the Bears closely, do you have concerns about their route running ability? And in fact, not even the national guys, Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune took a big shot at the wide receivers, but you may not feel that way. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that these, you know, it's a ragtag bunch and that they don't have their issues. They absolutely do. And do some of them have some work to do to get off press coverage? Yes, absolutely. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that these guys have no ability to get open, I'm going to just call you Hub Arkush, I guess, and say that you're not watching tape. Because, I mean, Phil and I both know, Aldo, you know, and there's a bunch of people out there that know that it's just, it's not true. I mean, I can show you clips where on the very first play the other night when Mike Glennon had Zach Miller wide open, he was actually staring at him and he could not process and release the ball quick enough. And it's just, you know, little things like that. There's numerous, Phil put it really good with Kendall Wright. I have a clip of him from I think it's the Tampa game. Maybe it was
wide
the game.
Open.
I mean, yeah, wide open's putting it.
It was the play he threw to triple coverage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, down the left sideline. And you can see Kendall Wright's reaction immediately. He just turns around and he throws his hands up in the air like, what else do I have to do? And, you know, it goes back. If you're not going to get competent quarterback play, you're not going to get competent wide receiver play. And, you know, one thing that I want to point out about.
Can you highlight what he just said again? Can you say that again, please?
You want me to put an echo effect or something?
Yeah, could you say that one more time?
The smartest man in the room. It's almost right, like I'm making sense.
We say this all the time in the quarterback meeting. Go ahead.
Nice echo.
There I go, ruining the life. Sorry.
One thing that I do want to point out is, you know, you go back to this last game and you see that ball that Mike Glennon actually threw deep to Josh Bellamy, and Josh Bellamy tried to catch it with his chest rather than his hands down there almost at the goal line. And guys, we've seen all the practices. Aldo, you've been at camp, and we've seen time after time after time. And yes, he didn't get a whole bunch of playing time in the preseason. We saw Gentry have that one go route against Tennessee in preseason, but we saw Tanner Gentry time and time again make those jump ball plays.
Mm-hmm.
In the preseason during practice. And that, when I saw Josh Bellamy go up to make that play, and didn't try to catch it with his hands, because Josh Bellamy knows that that's not a good decision for him. so he tried to suck it into his chest and then bring his hands up. But that's a play that Tanner Gentry makes. And, you know, they're in.
Exactly.
Yes, it could have been the ball thrown a little bit earlier and maybe a little bit deeper, but you know, right there, your quarterback's not going to be perfect every single time. And that, and to me, that was a ball that absolutely had to be caught. And to what drives me nuts is it we're relying on a guy like Josh Bellamy that is a special teams player to make these big plays for us on offense. And to me, it doesn't make sense. If you know, you're bringing Mitch up, I agree with what Phil said. You want to see him build that rapport with another young wide receiver in Tanner Gentry. They brought McBride up, and I know I give Phil a lot of grief about McBride. You do see the traits there. He will have the boneheaded drops, but Trey McBride's biggest issue in Tennessee was learning the playbook, and that's documented. You can Google it and look it up, where he was having problems digesting the playbook and things like that, and that very well could be the reason why Chicago put him down onto the practice squad, to give him a couple of more weeks to digest what's expected of him in this Chicago Bears offense. And you know, I don't think we can discount that. So that's just one other factor that we're going to have to take into consideration. But if you're going to, like I said, to get back to saying, anybody saying that these wide receivers can't get open, it's simply not true. Are they perfect? No. But guys, Marcus Wheaton, yes, he's had a couple of drops. He hasn't had a catch. And has he not had a catch just because of the drops? How many targets has Marcus Wheaton had since he's been playing? And that was that was your big offseason signing at quarterback. And that's on Mike Glennon. You know, I guess if you want to have Marcus Wheaton running these 3 and 4 yard shallow crossing routes, maybe Mike Glennon would have found him. But that's not his game. And I agree with what Phil said. And I'll take it a step further. I think Marcus Wheaton is going to be a guy that could kind of explode on the scene Monday night, because he brings that speed element that this offense lacks. And I think Kendall Wright is another one that's going to be thanking his lucky stars that they have switched quarterbacks, because Mitch Trubisky can see the entire field. And when these guys do have problems getting off of press coverage, or if they do have an issue running a crisp route and getting open, Mitch Trubisky can buy you that extra time to make your life easier there. And if they're not open, you always have that ultimate check down weapon in a Tariq Cohen. Have fun staying with a guy like Tariq Cohen while Mitch Trubisky's buying you time running out of the pocket, or just running around in the pocket to buy time and then giving us that extra option. It's to say that he's not going to make a difference in our offense is a bold
asinine
look. And it's an asinine statement.
Staying on Tariq Cohen too, this kid has 10-inch hands, and when we talked about him on this show right after the draft, you could see the Bears have clued into using him all over the football field with Trubisky under center, and Tariq Cohen being in the slot, being a jet sweep type of guy with Howard in the backfield. Are you talking about stressing gaps now? That's what these analysts don't understand, is that Tariq Cohen coming in on a jet sweep, you don't have to look at your Monday Night Football right now and watch Tariq Hill and think about how they use him and how that false step affects a linebacker that's got to go check on Tariq Cohen coming across, might get the handoff, then he's sweeping around clean. You have to account for that. Now, all of a sudden, that false step gives that guard the opportunity to get to the second level, open up these zone plays, and now you're cooking with fire because Jordan Howard is a goddamn animal. And when he plays the way he plays against the Steelers and you see him coming downhill, those Minnesota Vikings, who, by the way, on a Monday night, I thought was the most impressive showcase of Chicago Bear football, was the last time we played the Vikings on a Monday night. The Jordan Howard show, I believe Cutler came in, and Jordan Howard was just pummeling linebacker. It was to the point where we could put up film and you could see the Minnesota Vikings quit. So if you're coming out with now jet sweeps, a young quarterback who's accurate, and you're using Cohen to offset your offense because you're not confident in your receiving core or whatever, those tight ends too got to get involved. I'm telling you right now, as Shane was saying, it's going to be electric. If I'm coaching this team, those two backs are on the field. We're using them in manners to open up the run game and really let Trubisky go, because he could do it because he's so accurate. So I just wanted to put that in there. I think Cohen is going to be a device on top of Trubisky's legs, Cohen's explosiveness from the backfield too, but from the slot, is going to give the Chicago Bears a unique look that they haven't been able to do well enough, because it's been predictable with Glenn. And if Cohen's lining up outside, it's going to be a screen. It's been very predictable, and Cohen has been so explosive that he's able to overcome the predictability of him and really make big plays irregardless. So it's going to be exciting, Aldo, to see this go down on Monday night and see how they coach this team up.
We are about 10 minutes from the end of the show, and we have so much to talk about, but fortunately, we're going to be back tomorrow on Bears 100 Proof for our longer show, and it's usually up sometime after midnight, but we get started talking around 9, and maybe we should just have this chat room open, because we're getting such great feedback from everyone that's on this room, and they're really giving you some great compliments, Phil, on your responses to their questions. Even Shane, the smartest man in the bar room, is giving compliments. Listen,
Aldo, can I say, can we go back to one thing for the young lady topless?
I don't think she wants to be known as topless.
Wait, we're still live, Phil.
I know. She's fine. I'm totally okay with that. I just want to talk a little bit about Trevathan. Two things, okay? Because we didn't get into it. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted this out immediately. So go on my timeline. I'm coaching the game as I'm watching it. Ask my wife. That's how I do it. That's how I've always... I just live for the opportunity to sit with these two gentlemen and watch a game with them so we could just see each other how we do it. But that being said, when the play happened, there's three ineligible Packers linemen downfield. So they're throwing a forward pass. Three Packer linemen are down the field, hindering the receiver in his route. That should have been a flag right there. Number one, wrong thing. Number two, there's two Packers on the Bears tackler blocking the guy who's trying to tackle when the defensive, I can't remember who the defensive lineman was who was coming in, that ends up pushing towards Trevathan. Trevathan is angling and coming in to tackle him. Now, I said, how many times have we seen a receiver, a running back, catch a ball at the 7, and they get pushed by all these offensive linemen, and it becomes a rugby scrum, and all of a sudden they're in the end zone and jumping into the Lambo, leaping, laughing at us? No, Trevathan took it upon himself to get this football player down as he's coached. He gets low, he squares himself, and he's about to explode through him. He doesn't expect that defensive lineman to knock this kid towards him. And that's why the head-on-head happened. shouldn't have been a suspension at all. It's ridiculous that it's gotten to that point. It's typical Packers bullshit. Aaron Rodgers gets the benefit of every call. This isn't a made-up thing. He didn't even throw the flag, the official, until Aaron Rodgers turned to him and said, "What the heck's going on?" So I'm not making this up. I've seen this too often. Yes, it was a physical play. You're completely wrong trying to come at me saying I'm being a homer. No, Trevathan doesn't have a history of this. He was being aggressive. If you've done anything wrong in the NFL, you've allowed this rugby scrum to supersede this kind of football play, and you got to take him down. The guy went in there hard as I want my linebackers to go in there, and that's how he did it. It shouldn't have been it could have been a penalty. It should never have been a suspension. It sucks on the NFL's part that we're losing another inside linebacker, like Shane said and you talked about. But I wanted to make sure that was out there to that young lady.
Good stuff.
That is ridiculous suspension. It is totally wrong. And if this guy had beaten his wife, he'd be in a courtroom and he'd be still playing for the Bears. But since he went in there and tried to make an aggressive play, he's going to be knocked out of a game for a week. And I think something's wrong with that.
Phil, before we sign off here, I want to make sure that I get yours and Shane's opinion about something. And maybe we can talk about it more tomorrow. But I just have this feeling that Mitch Trubisky has that certain it factor that when he gets into that huddle, all of a sudden the guys are going to block a little better. The guys are going to catch a little bit better. The guys are just going to execute better because there's some aura about this guy that you don't see in many other quarterbacks. Certainly here in Chicago. Now, is this just hopeful thinking on my part, or do you and Shane feel the way I feel?
Shut up, Phil. I'm
gonna go ahead. Well, I was going to give you credit because I wanted to say that. I'm going to set you a spike here, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Shane Marsaw eloquently this summer talked about that moment where Devin Hester's back receiving a punt, and you all could feel it in the stadium. You could feel it. I had the pleasure of being in Giants Stadium when he took that missed field goal all the way back. I just felt something was going to happen with the kid. There is an excitement and a moment where the game isn't bigger than them. And Shane was comparing that to Devin Hester when he just saw this young man be forced out into the two-minute drill. Shane, take it from there. I thought you handled that comparison completely, 100%.
Yeah, no, it's Aldo. It is. It. I don't think we can underestimate how incompetent Mike Glennon has been at quarterback, and how that just spreads to the entire team. And you know, it's just like I said, you're a guy like Marcus Wheaton, you're a guy like Kendall Wright, you're a guy like Zach Miller. I mean, are you? When was the last time we threw a seam route to one of our tight ends? I mean, Adam Shaheen. I think Adam Shaheen's going to be part of the game plan versus Minnesota with a guy like Trubisky in there. You know, these guys are roommates and we're living together, and there's going to be some of that rapport there. But it's like I said, it's not just the players. It's the organization. It's the fans. Like Tariq Cohen, you're going to lean forward when he goes out there to take his first snap. You want to see what's going to happen. It was like when the Bears traded for Jay Cutler, and you watched, and it was only preseason, but when Cutler made his debut in Buffalo for Chicago, Bears first preseason game in 2009, I was sitting there, and it was just, you know, I was on the edge of my seat watching that. They're that type of player that just inspires the masses. And Mitch Trubisky, like I said, he's this football organization and this fan base is starved for an offensive superstar, especially at quarterback. And if he goes out there and shows any semblance of being a viable NFL quarterback with upside, it's going to make the defense play better. It's going to inspire the wide receivers, the tight ends, the offensive line, just everybody. Maybe John Fox will be, you know, normal in press conferences and not, you know, trying to lie every other word. Maybe it'll fix his scratchy ass voice. Who knows? But it's just, it's going to inspire everybody. And it's a great point, Aldo. And I don't think that's something that you can discount. One player brings that much enthusiasm and excitement to your team. I don't think it can be undersold.
Accuracy, athleticism, arm strength, and the ability to anticipate a receiver getting open is going to be the difference in the whole offensive philosophy for those players like Zach Miller that he talked about, like Wheaton. They know that they got to continue through the route because Trubisky might escape out. And if I'm not at my point, this kid could dime a ball about 65 yards. The kid has a strong arm. It's not weak. I've seen it on tape at North Carolina, dropping dimes to Hollis and Bug Howard and Switzer. This kid is going to bring confidence to the huddle. The one thing I've seen about him, it was so impressive that Shane talked about that electricity. It wasn't too big for him. This is like riding a bike, and that's when you know you got something special. That's why you don't bubble wrap it. That's why you let it loose and you let those guys win you football games, because that's how you change a whole culture. And unfortunately, we saw what a non-athlete does. Now you're going to see what an athlete does. And I really think this game is not too big for him. That's the overriding opinion from people who know the kid and the coaches that are coaching him and the scouts that are scouting him. Listen, someone I know from the Patriots was like, this kid was the best quarterback in the draft, bar none. You saw what Deshaun Watson has done, our boy. Five touchdowns? Are you kidding me? We haven't seen that from a rookie, let alone a quarterback, in God knows how long. I believe Mitchell Trubisky, with his accuracy and athleticism, is going to give Bear fans a chance at that. It really is here. I don't think this team is so far away. They're so bad. I believe you saw them toe-to-toe with the NFC champs, Aldo. You saw them beat the Pittsburgh Steelers despite their quarterback. They could have beat Tampa if they had any kind of quarterback. And obviously what I said on the national stage, this guy's going to crumble like a what was the thing? The cinnamon apple crisp cupcake. And boy, did he crumble like that. And now we're here. And it's Trubisky now. Aldo, you are the man, the godfather, putting that hashtag together. I want to shout out my boy Aaron Quinn for helping us with some of the graphics.
Awesome,
you saw
job.
The super bad graphic. Mm-hmm. Bears Barroom, we are about analytics. We are about telling the truth, but we're also about having a great time. The fans, you guys have been so supportive. I'm going to save all the shout-outs tomorrow, but I wanted to shout out Aaron Quinn. Really brought my idea of super bad together. I thought it was great, and I appreciate him doing that for us at Bears Barroom. And Aldo, of course, bringing all the Trubisky Now stuff to the forefront and the graphics with the jersey. We really have had a great time, and we also owe you all a great, tremendous applause, too, for joining us.
And Phil, like I said earlier, I know you're not on the chat room, but hopefully you will next time, because the interaction that's going on here, it really is cool. And it started in that pre-show that I had where I was playing music. People were just kind of, you can almost feel that people were dancing to the music. And I know that, who was it, Jedi was having a couple of beers while he was doing his homework, or maybe it was the Georgius. So anyway, it's been a ton of fun. And I got to say this. There it is. Come on.
Don't forget Bears 100 Proof on Wednesday.
We have so much to talk about tomorrow. And one of the primary topics that I'm going to talk about with you guys tomorrow is this issue that what happens if all of a sudden the Bears win 6-7 games this season? Does John Fox save his job if he goes, if he wins 6 games the rest of the season? So that has me worried. We won't talk about it now. That's a tease for a tomorrow show, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of interaction from people tomorrow. And the John Fox press conference is tomorrow, as Shane is reminding me on the chat room. Shane is just like multitasking. He's definitely the smartest man in the room.
Peace.
Phil, why don't you say,
I gotta get on this chat room.
Yeah, you do. Phil, why don't you and Shane give your final words, and then we'll close it out.
I just really appreciate everybody tuning in. We are going to keep bringing the truth to all of the youth. We respect every race, culture. We're a mixture right here on this show of passionate guys bringing you the truth. I appreciate this show. We put it together to go live because we have nothing to hide. We take on all, and we take on the truth. And I really feel like the Trubisky Now moment has really turned the page. I'm really excited to see this young man. I'm really excited about Wednesday's show because we are going to get down and dirty. Aldo always brings the funny drops and the great surprises and hurdles for us to tackle tomorrow. And I'm excited to do it with my boys on this show. And I appreciate you all listening in. I wish I could have been in the chat room. I'll let Aldo thank you all for doing that. And we're going to keep it 100.
Shane, come on in and say goodbye.
Yeah, I'm just going to, hey, we've been waiting for this for a real long time. I know I've been waiting for it a little bit longer than others. I think you guys probably know where I'm going with that, right, Phil? Not disrespecting your boy there. But the time is upon us. I put that little tweet out there today, shall we begin? And that's exactly how I feel. This is giving me some renewed optimism on our season, on our now 12-game season. And it's just gonna, this is what we wanted. We got a quarterback. Yeah, you know, fire up the masses and let's get behind this kid. We got to realize that there's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some issues. There's going to be some boneheaded interceptions, but there's also going to be some big plays. Bears fans have to realize that the kid's not going to be perfect. Like I said, he's going to have some ups and downs along the way. But no matter what, let's not vilify this kid along the way. Let's show our support for him, stand behind him, and show him what these new Chicago Bears fans should be about. You know, get behind this young team, and mm-hmm. then let's go out there and surprise some teams. You know, don't everybody tune in Monday night and let's get this rocking. Let's see what's going on. And like I said, we cannot discount how much having competency at quarterback and just the inspiration that this kid can bring to this entire organization. And I think it can go a long, long way. And I can think of nothing better than to put one on the Minnesota Vikings. I tweeted BJ Rydell. I look at the Minnesota Vikings as a fake contender. And I would love to hang one on him on Monday night.
I think one other point I want to just piggyback before we sign off. We've listed, I put a movie together, the QB carousel, the legendary Mike Glennon ending that. Shane really, and this show was built with Aldo around the truth and changing a narrative, really. Let's be honest, and Shane is keeping it 100 right now. There's going to be bumps in the road. If you're going to throw your hands up, like I said, if we lose every game moving forward, we've taken a step in the right direction because you need to support this young kid and watch him grow. We have not seen a a quarterback drafted in the top five of a draft since Jimmy McMahon. So now is the time to support this guy and keep him in your prayers, in your thoughts, because it needs to happen that this franchise, no matter what, has to get on his back, and he's going to take you to where you got to go. And that's how I'll end this show. It's time for Trubisky now.
Sounds good, and I want to tell the people out at Twitter who have been firing questions, I apologize, I didn't mean to ignore you. Cloudy Future, we'll get to your question tomorrow, as well as the other ones that were sent to us via Twitter. And next time, if you can join us in this chat room that we've got set up, it would really be cool, because it's some great interaction with all the fans. All right, this is Bears Hour Live for Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin, for the smartest man in the world, Shane Marsall. I am Aldo Gandia, and make sure you join us on Wednesday morning for Bears 100 Proof. We'll have probably a two-hour festival of fun, given all we've got to talk about. Take care, everyone.